ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, hope everyone's having a great Thursday afternoon. Waddle's in the First Midwest Bank studio.
I am.
Chris Bleck is with us as well. Tyler Aki in for Adam Abdallah. We just recorded a fantastic interview with Louis Riddick.
Always enjoy our conversations with Louis.
We'll play that at 5 as we'll dive into the
deep dive into the Bears offense.
Bears offense, Bears play calling, Bears personnel.
Is deep dive still a phrase used in the
I think so. It was overused there for a while.
Dive. Are we doing a deep dive? Let's do a deep dive.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how deep we're necessarily
going.
Let's
do a deep dive.
Okay.
Let's dive deep. Go deep.
You know, we were texting last night, and I know I want to get into La Russa stuff and play you some audio that Carmen and Yurko play.
That's just a dream, right? That's not real. That's a dream.
Well,
we're
talking
about a dream.
I feel like this is a game of ping pong. Now I'm going back.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 days ago it was a joke. Yesterday it was like, okay, it's the owner. He wants to relive the old days. But now it's kind of like, uh-oh.
It's real, man.
I still don't want to believe it, but it has not been dispelled anywhere. No one has come out who is connected, and we'll see. Jesse's got info on it. Ooh. And he was on, and I know a lot of people think Jesse's just the Cubs guy, but Jesse is a well-respected ESPN baseball reporter nationally now.
He's climbing the ranks.
And he was in the press conference a few days ago with Rick Hahn. And he's going to tell us what he knows about this coming up at 2:30. But it is...
It's weird. It's a weird story.
Yes. Like, usually by now, if it wasn't true, you would get news from one of the beat writers. Sox fans, have no fear. It ain't happening. But what has happened over the last 24 to 36 hours is Bob Nightingale's original story continues to gain traction, and where other guys are now writing about the report. Richard Justice told us yesterday, depending on which part of the interview, that it's either his job to turn down or AJ Hinch is going to get the job. But, you know, other people have come out, and I know Bruce Levine said something about it, that, you know, they're going to interview him, and it's Jerry's long desire to have this happen.
If he interviews for the job, he's interested, right? I mean, if you're doing the interview, you're interested.
Well, that's what I said yesterday about the sort of the audition. Like, when I compared it to an older actor who's been in the business and is considered a Hall of Fame actor, do you even need to interview if you're interested? Don't you just say, I'm interested, I want the job, and thus you get hired if they really want you?
I think what ends up happening in that quote-unquote interview is you come to terms with length of contract, what the contract looks like, what are you going to be able to do with regard to bringing your people in. I think that interview, if you're not interested, okay, you don't even go through the process. But I think once you do the interview, it's like, hell yeah, I'm interested. Now what I want to do is I want to talk about who's my bench coach, how much I'm getting, how long you want me to be here, how long I want to be here. I think you get down to the brass tacks in that interview.
Let me play you this interview with Tony La Russa. Carmen, a good call by Carmen and Meller. They brought this up today on the Carmen and Yurko show every day, 10 to noon. And this is from, I believe, an interview with Graham Bensinger. Tony La Russa with Graham Bensinger, the interviewer. And this is from back in February. And they talked a lot about how La Russa's been retired here for 10 years, but how he has flirted with possibly returning to baseball. And then he gets into the staff as well. But take a listen to Tony La Russa with Graham Bensinger.
I missed the immediacy of the game. I missed the whole thing of pulling the team together from day one, making them a true brotherhood, competing to see if you can get to October and see how far you can get. I missed that. So I miss the competition, but I don't miss it so much that I want to go back.
I understand you might have come close this offseason to considering going back to managing. Why'd you decide against it?
It's not your age that dictates whether you should manage. We had a very proactive coaching staff, great coaches that really embraced information. We believe in its place. And what's happened is the game is being overwhelmed by percentages and numbers. And the value of the coaches, scouts, and observational analytics, you know, you watch and you see, it's being disrespected. So the game is really not as entertaining right now. Percentages don't take into account the head, the heart, and the guts of a player that day. So there are times you say, man, I'd like to get back and help correct the balance. That's you know, sometimes you after you watch a game, man, I'd like to get back because I know they're playing the game correctly. You'll win more than what they're doing now. But I'm not managing, so it's not strong enough to where I go back.
Yeah, how close were you?
Put it this way. Pitching coach Dave Duncan, greatest pitching coach in the history of the game. He's in Tucson. And I kind of ran by, hey, Duncan, you want to come back? He said, I can't. If Duncan said yes, then it would be possible. But Dunk said no. If he had come back, I'd have probably asked Arizona, let me take Dave McKay. Dave Duncan and I were together 29 years. McKay and I were 26. I would need that supporting cast like I always had. Believe me, I wasn't a good enough manager to do it without them.
There you go.
Cocoon 2. They're getting the band back together.
Right. This is even older than a Rolling Stones current tour, right? Like, and this is from Paul Sullivan's article today in the Tribune. With the 75-year-old Dave Duncan now back in the Sox baseball operations department as a pitching consultant, perhaps he would persuade La Russa to make him his pitching coach, completing the cycle. You heard there, Waddle, that he didn't want to come back, or so he says. I don't know what the demand was last year. That he didn't want to come back because Dave Duncan didn't want to come back. Dave Duncan is now with the White Sox. He is now in their operations department.
And if he does come back, he's coming back to set all of these pure analytical folks straight.
Well, and that's what set Carmen off. I mean, is this what you want? Do you want, with a young, emerging team that could be a dominant force in the American League for the next 5 years, do you want to turn back time?
I will say this. I don't believe Tony La Russa hits Robert seventh. I don't know what the analytics say about that, but I don't believe Tony La Russa bats Robert
seventh. Okay, right. Observational. He's really, really good. You move him up in the lineup. And look, I won't rant as much as Carmen did. I think it's a terrible idea about La Russa, okay? And I'll get to another example of that in a minute. But what I brought up to Carmen, because he completely laughed Tony La Russa off, I do believe, and I don't want to go back to the 80s, I do believe, and you've always said you use analytics to a point.
Yeah.
I do believe it's gotten too strikeout, home run, walk.
Too analytically.
I don't know if it's ish. And hear me out here, because I don't want this isn't about being older or whatever. I believe someone will zig while the entire league zags. Mm. And I believe there's a place for that. Everyone is like-minded in the game these days. Theo Epstein used to be a one-in-a-million guy. Now you have 29 other teams who have their Theo Epstein. They're run by Ivy Leaguers. They have the same computer programmers as the Cubs and Theo has had and everything like that. I brought up to Carmen today, I go, look, for 10 years now, everyone's taught about launch angle. You got to get everybody hitting with launch angle. And now all of a sudden, because of the analytics, you have now these great strides, and Theo even mentioned it, with pitching. Now all of a sudden, the analytics have worked with pitching, the pitching side, where now they know how to get hitters who are only looking to hit home runs with launch angle out. And then you have a sport full of players who don't know how to hit for contact. Players that when you have the entire shift on the right side of the infield, no one knows how to put down a bunt on the left side. And I'm not telling you to sacrifice. I'm not telling you to play 1980s old school Cardinals baseball. But I'm just telling you that I believe there's going to be a day where there will be a young genius who comes in using his analytics saying, we've got to stop playing like every other team in baseball. And instead of taking all these uppercut swings and getting out with high heat like the Cubs have been doing in the last couple of years, we need to start getting players who can hit for power but yet make contact more often. Do you understand my point?
Totally. Like, so it's been my philosophy in all of sports forever is that you use it as a set. It's in your toolbox. It's not the only thing in your toolbox. I got a hammer. I got some wrenches. I got screwdrivers. I got clamps. I got all kinds of stuff in there. It needs to be one of those tools. It can't be the only tool in your toolbox.
Can I jump in here?
Sure.
As a self-appointed contrarian, I understand the point, Sylvie, of zigging and zagging, right?
Right.
I understand the concept, and I get what you're saying, that someone will come along with something different to maybe outsmart the rest of the league at some point. The thing I would point out, though, is do you know how many teams down the list of the best home run hitting teams in Major League Baseball you have to get to before you find a team at the top of the list who didn't make the playoffs? Do you know how deep you have to go to find that team?
No, I know. You have to. I'm not discounting the home run, nor am I discounting analytics at all. I think analytics will get you to this other point.
And the answer is ninth. You have to get to the ninth team in baseball, the Mets, for hitting home runs that didn't make the playoffs. I guess my point to you is, if zigging is the way to win, then why would you zag? Like, I get that
because while you could feast like the Cubs did in 16 and 15, you could also have famine.
Well,
the Cubs have been zagging.
They were 17th in home runs this year.
Well, that's the problem because none of them can now.
People adjusting to them.
Yes, the new pitching. They haven't adjusted, Chris. It's a bunch of guys who can't hit high heat now because none of them make contact. I am not discounting. I am telling you you're going to get there with analytics, but I'm saying too many people want to follow the pack. Too many. And I do believe, too, basketball is going to have to do that.
Yeah,
there's too much of the same stuff. Too much where the game hasn't become where it's just boring.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I guess the Heat were better at it, but throughout the course of the regular season, it was a disjointed regular season. Like the Lakers were one of the worst.
They improved in the playoffs.
They did, but I mean that like their game isn't based on
Jimmy Butler showed you could win games without. Look, I want to take threes. I'm not going back to Larry Bird.
Put it all together.
Three. I think if you're just going to follow the crowd, you're never going to adjust.
But if the crowd is right, shouldn't you follow the crowd?
But they're not. It's not totally right.
The Sox
right.
were one
There's
of the best
nuances.
Home run hitting teams, so why would you change that philosophy?
I'm not.
They were third in the regular season.
When did you hear me say I'm changing that philosophy?
Well,
I am telling you that there is going to be a place for contact in this sport. That you cannot just strike out, walk, and home run. Let me ask you this, Chris. If you're playing football and you have a line of scrimmage that has one defensive lineman on it,
mm-hmm.
one.
Yeah.
And because now this is a passing league, you have 10 guys who are playing against the pass. Are you still going to pass the football?
No, you run the football, and I've always loved running out of passing formations. I think that's the best thing you can do and mix it up that way, and I understand the balance in football. I also think the analytical conversation with the NBA and Major League Baseball are almost two different things because the three-point shooting in the NBA opens up the rest of the court for your offense. I think to your point, only trying to hit home runs when that doesn't work for your baseball team – it puts your team at a disadvantage because you can't actually create runs and help your team to win.
Well, my point is, though, about the analogy that I used about if you had one guy in the line of scrimmage, instead of seeing eight in the box, you have one in the box. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Team going one in a box. You're going to run? Hell yeah, you're going to run. In baseball, they basically say to you when a lefty is up and they shift and all the infielders are on this side of second base. Hit it over here. And do you know what baseball has no answer. These hitters have no answer. They're giving you a free base if you can just get the ball down the third base line. How is that smart when you decide you consistently don't do that? Or you don't have players who can do that? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm totally with you, especially against the shift. I understand.
So he's got his Tony La Russa jersey on.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not going just, Tony. I'm just saying.
This sounds like a pro La Russa point. I'm scared.
Listen, right, you've got my support because I've always been someone that says that I use analytics, but I'm not married to them.
I want to use analytics, and I think analytics will bring us
absolutely
there. But I want to give you a comp to Tony La Russa, all right? And it's not perfect. It will be apples to oranges. But this is – and Jesse's going to join us. How poorly of a decision will this be? Or are some people coming around that Tony La Russa could help the White Sox win their first World Series since 2005? 312-332-3776. I'll give you the comp. We'll take your phone calls. We'll get to the Bears as well. Lewis Riddick is going to be on the show today, as is JD. It's all coming up.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, spirited start to the show so far. 312-332-3776.
We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you?
We've got more. We've got more.
That's all right. That's okay. You'll work for us someday.
That was your...
No, that's what St. X used to chant to us when we, Moeller, would be kicking their ass up and down the field back in my day. Now, St. X has gotten the upper hand on Moeller recently. But back in the day when we were at the old football stadium up in Mason... Okay, it used to be the home of the College Football Hall of Fame, and we would play on the field right next to it, and we'd be boat racing St. X. Their student section would be screaming at us. That's all right. That's okay. You'll work for us someday. And they were probably right because they were really, really smart and very accomplished in a lot of ways. But we would rub their faces in it on the football.
It was 34-3 Moeller, and they're chanting at
that's
you.
That's all right. That
you're
going to
work for them.
You'll work for us someday. And, you know, I mean, look, I'm talking about sports, and half those guys are probably all Wall Street executives. So.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I'm not anti-analytics at all. I am not anti-home run at all. I am just saying that one day there will be a different way to do it analytically. Again, it's always about adjustments. The pitching has adjusted. Theo said in his post-game, postseason press conference that the biggest strides in the last 5 years has been with pitching in advancements, the spin rate and everything like that. And there's going to be a zag, and I think the person who zags, it's not Tony La Russa. So let's get back to the beginning. That guy isn't Tony La Russa. That guy is not Dave Duncan. And, like, even if you would bring back Tony La Russa, to surround him with his coaching staff from 30 years ago, that would be an even greater disservice, because then you have too many like-minded things who are prehistoric. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to see the knuckle curve?
Well,
you want to see the knuckle curve?
Charlie Huff is going to be starting for the White Sox. He's going to be their number one starter.
Guys, what I want you to do is I want to take that emery board out of your sock. I want you to rub down one of those laces on that baseball. I want you to dig in with your nails, and I want you to snap that thing off, okay? We call that the knuckle curve. Yeah, that baseball,
the knuckle curve. But this is – Phil Jackson did a job – or tried to do a job that he never held. So Tony La Russa is going to manage. But the point here is the managerial job today isn't the same job as Tony La Russa did in 2011. It's a completely different job, just like Phil Jackson took on as president of the Knicks. Phil Jackson was out of touch. Phil Jackson couldn't hire the right guy as a coach. Phil Jackson couldn't find players who were good enough. Phil Jackson was a coach who preached the triangle when he had superstar players. If he got out of that realm, he wasn't exactly the best guy for the job.
Tony's going to ask for some help putting his daily lineup together? Or you think Tony's going to be, he's got a pencil. He's got the same pencil he was using in 2011, and he's writing in the lineup.
Well, he's got to finish the crossword first. So he'll finish the crossword puzzle, he'll do a Sudoku, and then he'll fill out the lineup.
I will say this, for those of you who are up in age like me, one of the best ways to keep your mind sharp is a consistent doing of the crossword puzzle. I'm just saying.
Hey, so we could do that at the retirement village.
Okay.
I mean, you know, enjoy some fishing. Get the early bird special. Yeah, some golf.
We're gonna play golf every day.
You can fish in the pond at the retirement village.
Of course, I don't live in a retirement village where there's no fish in the pond. That would defeat the purpose. I've lived my entire life to catch the fish when I throw the hook in the water, and you're gonna tell me I have now moved into a retirement home where there's no damn fish in the pond? Like, I'm an idiot for moving into that place. There should be fish eating fish in that pond.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. That's what Tony should do. Be doing the crossword puzzle with an early dinner, you know, in Arizona somewhere.
That's what I'm going to do sooner rather than later.
I mean, I did in the pre-show fistfight that my son is 6. I'm a Cubs fan. I don't want him to be a Sox fan. So far, he's been brainwashed by other people in his life. He continues to talk about the White Sox. So, unlike what I told you 10 years ago, now that I've got my kid and he's interested in baseball in the least, I'm going to help him become a Sox fan if that's what he wants. Okay?
Wow, look at you.
Do you think I want him to have a manager who used to do the job 35 years ago on the South Side?
I think you want him to have a manager that can win a World Series championship.
Yeah, I want him to have a manager that is young.
That cheated on his way to a title?
Well, that's the other thing, that Jack McDowell sound. I mean,
I was talking about A.J. Hinch. Are you going to have that conversation with Mason if, in fact, they do hire A.J.?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. It's
people
over.
Cheat. People cheat.
Yeah, but like you have to – that's a part of the Mason, you have a new manager, is that he the last team he was on.
Oh,
was
no.
He spells it out for the kids when it comes to sports.
I'm
man.
Not preemptively doing that, Chris. If he's going to ask me, I would explain. Yeah. I would say – look, well, like me as a parent, whenever someone says, and I don't have all the answers, that's for damn sure. Waddle could tell you that.
Don't look at me. I don't have any of the answers either.
Well, I ask you often about stuff and tips and
I pass it on.
When someone says, "What are you going to tell the children?"
What about the children?
You tell the children the truth, really.
Well, you're going to have to, because when Mason walks into school, when school is now available for them to come in every day, and he's wearing a White Sox hat, and A.J. Hinch could possibly be the manager, you know some of those Cub fan kids are going to look at him and say, "Oh, yeah, Mason? Well, your new manager cheated." And now you're going to have that conversation with him, so just get ready.
Right. They're going to say, "What do you mean?"
Yeah, like exactly.
Look, I told him last year at the Super Bowl party, my wife printed up. I don't know why they didn't get like Kansas City Chief jerseys last year, because the kids were on board. They were on the bandwagon. My oldest loves Patrick Mahomes. So instead, they went to a T-shirt, a make-your-own T-shirt shop. And then they listed like she did something like cutesy. It was like a Matt Nagy play call where it was like something about like Mason's rooting for the Chiefs. It's Team Mason, Team Mahomes, Team Kelsey, and Team Hill, Tyreek Hill. And I don't exactly want him cheering for Tyreek Hill, considering the stories that were out last year. And I told him we put some duct tape over Hill's name. I wouldn't let him wear the shirt without Tyreek Hill's name being duct taped out after the accusations thrown his way. And he asked me why last year when he was 5. And I told him that he's not a good guy. Every time a Chiefs game is on, he asks me if Tyreek Hill is being a better guy.
What are you telling?
It's still in his head. I said, so far, things have been better with him. I haven't heard anything bad.
All right.
So, I mean, maybe I did did I do the TMI route?
That was a good parenting lesson.
No, listen, you answer your son's question.
Good.
Yeah, so.
What did he do with his Chapman Cubs jersey?
He never had a Chapman. No.
What did you do with yours?
I never had a Chapman. I rooted for Chapman. These are the decisions you have to make as a sports fan.
Of course, I know. Listen, we've had a ton of these conversations over the years, and you and I fall on the same side of the ledger on this.
It's exactly why Carmen backed out of the "I won't root for the White Sox if they hire Tony La Russa," because you're still going to have a team that matches. Yeah, you're still going to have a really fun team. And you could get over the managerial hire. But again, I think Jerry has done so many things to leave yesteryear behind, whether with Gar Packs with the Bulls, getting rid of Boylan, getting the best guy available. They got rid of the coaching staff, whether it's with Robin Ventura or Chris Sale or Hawk Harrelson, or saying at the beginning of this, we won't revisit the Ozzie Guillen thing. So why the hell are they interested in refinding a love affair from 35 years ago and a guy who used to do a job that is completely different than it is in 2020?
It is real, though. It is real. Surprisingly so.
We'll see if Jesse, will he zag when everyone's zigging now? And will he tell us that there's no chance that Tony La Russa gets the job? Plus, we'll talk some football. If you have a question for Jesse, 312-332-3776. The Bears and Le'Veon Bell don't appear to be a match. We'll get into that in a little bit, but Jesse joins us next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Nobody has yet to come out and saying it's not going to happen, at least people with sources. Like,
it's real.
Like, we've analyzed it. Waddle continues to think it's real. Black thinks it's real. I still think that they're going to meet. They're going to look and gaze into each other's eyes, say, we never should have let Hawk do that.
They're both going to nod off?
They're going to nod off, and they're going to say, why are we even here?
Don't get me wrong. It's real, meaning this is a real pursuit. I don't know where I'd put my money. Initially, like yesterday, I'd have put my money down on A.J. Hinch being the manager. But the more you hear and the more your eyes are, you're directed in a different direction, you're like, this, not only is it real, the conversation is real. The ultimate outcome, I'm less certain of now than I was before.
All right, Jesse Rogers, we know how good he is here locally. His star continues to rise nationally, continues to break stories nationally, be on TV with ESPN. So as I butter you up, Jesse, and I tell you everyone how great you've been now nationally, are you willing to join us on the Corona Hotline right now and tell us that there will be no way that Tony La Russa will be the manager of the White Sox?
No, I can't say that at 100% definitively, the way you'd want, because it's the owner that's in his back pocket. It's not the assistant GM that likes this guy. It's the owner. So, of course, I can't say that with complete certainty. Do I think it's going to happen? No. I think A.J. Hinch is the leading candidate.
Why do you think it's not going to happen? Because Tony La Russa says no, or the job isn't offered to him?
I don't think the job's ultimately going to be offered to him.
Really?
I think that they will go through the process and someone will convince Jerry that, look, we have a Rolls Royce of a team. Let me say this. There's no certainty that he can't do the job, but why would you roll the dice? And I think this is the position Hahn's going to take. Why should we roll the dice when we have other candidates who are clearly just as good and more recently relevant? That's the point. Like, maybe he can do it. Let's not pretend this guy's the third winningest manager of all time. He didn't go on a beach for the last 10 years. He's been in three different front offices. And let me just fast forward it. I talked to someone with the Angels. I talked to someone with the Diamondbacks where he was. I didn't talk to someone with Boston. He spoke to these teams. He would speak to the players. He had a prominent role. And the vibe that I got was exactly what you'd expect. This is a crotchety kind of old school kind of guy. That's the vibe that I heard from L.A. and from Arizona. So keep that in mind. Now, having said that, though, he is a guy that's won in different eras, actually, 80s, 90s, 2000. He's won with different teams in different leagues. He's not incapable. There's just better candidates. And the biggest thing is just going back to Hahn's presser. I mean, he revealed very little, but the things he did say are like in stark contrast to what you would think in terms of hiring Tony La Russa.
You were on
the call. You know what I'm talking about, and it just doesn't make sense that he would say all those things except for the fact that the owner is on an island doing what the owner wants to do.
Why would they rush to getting rid of the Ozzie Guillen rumor and not wanting to go back down that part of their history, their only World Series in the last, like, 100 years? Why go down that road, but yet you want La Russa?
It's the same answer we've talked about when it comes to Gar and Pax and other people like that. Jerry is just so loyal to these guys. And I just feel like he probably thinks Tony's a little bit more, you know, he's closer to Tony than even Ozzie, even though Ozzie brought him the championship. Let's face it. So I think he didn't discount Tony right away because he wants Tony. The owner wants Tony. I think that actually has been clear. That's not something I saw on my radar. It's not something I would have been reporting. Bob is close with Jerry. They've got that whole, like, Scottsdale, let's go to the deli and hang out old school vibe. I think your guest yesterday, Richard Justice, is involved in that sort of old school group there. Look, I would have loved to have that story from Jerry Reinsdorf. But there's little doubt. I mean, even in Bob Nightingale's story, he says he reached out and contacted La Russa. So that tells you, to me at least, that La Russa isn't the leak to Bob. It's got to be Jerry Reinsdorf.
How do you, in your opinion, Jess, how do you think Rick Hahn is feeling about this situation?
Well, I think he's feeling really upset that this has gone public. That's just my opinion. I mean, this is one thing I wanted to say to you guys. Think about this. This is something, let's say they do hire A.J. Hinch. This is something that 2 months from now, let's say Bob does run into Jerry at Goldman's Deli in Scottsdale, and he tweets this out. Oh, by the way, before they hired A.J. Hinch, the Sox actually talked to Tony La Russa. Would have been a great little nugget, some postscript to the hiring of someone. You know what I mean? Like, this should have came out 3 months from now. It should not be the first name the day that Ricky Renteria gets fired or the day after. And I think that's where Rick Hahn is not in love with this whole thing. I mean, considering what he said, that other than Ozzie Guillen, they're not going to comment on anything. They're not going to leak anything. That's basically what he was saying in that Zoom conference call. And then all of a sudden, the first name that's leaked is Tony La Russa, who, again, it should be an afterthought. Like a month from now, oh, my God, they talked to Tony La Russa. What a wacky thing that would have been. That's the way I view this whole thing. And the fact that there's a vacuum of information right now, right? I mean, you can't even talk to A.J. Hinch officially until a suspension is over, which comes after the World Series. So there's a vacuum of information. The only thing out there is La Russa, and it's the first thing out there. So it's really caused a problem.
Jess, what are all of the folks in the baseball universe that you talk to? What has been their reaction to this?
Several of them I can't believe it, obviously. There's a few that are like, well, look, the guy was ahead of his time in some ways when it comes to – he's like I say, he's been in three front offices the last decade. I'm sure he's up on the analytics of it all. He played the matchups before anybody played the matchups. Now, I used to hang out with Steve Kline, the former Cardinals reliever. He didn't like Tony La Russa. There are plenty of people that played for him that didn't like him, but it's not about liking. It's about respecting. And so there are some people that think because he has kept his hand in the game, it's not the most absurd thing. It's not something they would have thought of, just like you and I didn't think of it. But now that they hear the name, there are other people that are just like, there's better candidates. There's no reason to roll the dice. If Tony La Russa had an aspect to his personality and managing that nobody else had, and you tried three different managers with this Rolls Royce of a team and you came up short, okay, maybe you go to him. But this is the first guy you turn to. You don't give A.J. Hinch, or I heard a few other callers mention, you know, Ned Yost, whoever it is, they're a little bit more qualified and fit the description that Rick Hahn said to everybody, right? Recent championship, October experience, someone maybe outside the family of the White Sox, and I consider La Russa inside the family. It's just amazing that if you wrote a script, if Hahn had written a script, it was basically, we're not hiring Tony La Russa, is what that script said to me.
All right, good stuff, Jesse. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, I'll be at the World Series next week, so I'm sure I'll hear a lot more about this. I'll make sure I check in with you guys.
You got it. Thank you, Jess. Mark in Lincoln Park wanted to weigh in. Mark, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys, how are you today?
We're good.
How are
Thanks.
You guys?
Good.
Good to talk to you. Hey, I was telling Tyler, I don't want to bring up the steroid thing because that was just cheating from the commissioner's office to the players and everybody. But as far as A.J. Hinch and actively knowing and cheating in the World Series, give me the differentiation on your levels of cheating how come Pete Rose can't be in the world or the Hall of Fame, but yet AJ Hinch is going to be allowed to manage? And he should be the manager, but I'm not going to get into the whole LaRusso thing. But I want to know the differentiation there, Sylvie. And for Waddle, you know, you may or may not fall on the Pete Rose getting in the Hall of Fame. I'm just curious how you differentiate levels of cheating.
I think both of us have always been have been advocates of Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
The story.
And serving his penalty. And
right.
Same with Joe Jackson, that he should be, you know.
Can never participate in Major League Baseball functions, play any role, but should be in the Hall. Isn't that kind of what?
Yes, right. Or if you just even wanted to say he's now no longer banned from baseball. He served, like, I know they're looking for more of an apology or more of an admission. What they say the difference is that he may have compromised results by possibly gambling against the Reds too, right? I mean, that is the number one thing is you cannot gamble on and certainly never gamble against your team. Right,
that's not how we do it in the Buckeye State. We don't bet against ourselves. We bet on ourselves.
Yeah,
just saying, just as an aside, that's how we roll.
But you don't, But you don't know that, right?
I don't. But that's I'm going to live with that. It's my battle cry for right now.
312-332-3776
Real quick, too. One of the things, like Jesse talked about, respect versus you don't need to be liked. I think that was one of the things that Richard Justice told us yesterday. I think it was Richard. Maybe it was somebody else. Maybe it was Ravi the day before. Like in today's game, in 2020 going forward, it's got to be a blend of both to get the most out of your team. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Respect is very, very important. But back in the day, we don't care. You don't have to like me, but you need to respect me. That was kind of the mantra. Now, it's a different player. It's a different era. It's a different feel where
you got to evolve.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of a concept, I think, that, you know, needs to be accepted as well.
All right. JD's going to join us at 3 o'clock. And coming up next, the top 20 Bears of the last 50 years. Whoa. We'll give you our next entry. I believe we're up to like 17. So that's coming up here in a couple of minutes. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my friends at Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Take it from me, Mr. Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
I don't believe we've gotten any official word yet on Le'Veon Bell, on where he's going. But it does look like the report from Jeremy Fowler from ESPN earlier today says the three teams that he is considering does not include the Bears.
Yeah, that was my consensus, or that was my thought yesterday, was this wouldn't be about whether or not the Bears were interested. This would be about whether or not Le'Veon Bell was interested in them and felt it was a good fit for him. And, like, my guess is I think the Bears probably, I'm just speculating, probably did call and asked.
Right. And then Shefty, he explained it today. Because of him being an unrestricted free agent, but right, because the Jets owe him $7 million, whatever he signs for basically just gets taken away from the Jets contract.
It's offset. It's called a contract offset.
It's an offset.
Yeah.
So basically everyone is in for the same dollar figure at like the league minimum.
Yes.
For the veterans. So the money won't make it make a bit of difference because no one's giving him more than $7 million.
Right.
So therefore it's all offset in his world.
So
anyway,
it all comes down to where he wants to play, where he thinks he'll have the best opportunity. Maybe to win. I don't know what it's in his heart. What's more important, his winning or reestablishing his career? And for him, probably the hope is both.
We'll get to the top 20 Bears here of all time. But Dre, our buddy in Denver, wanted to weigh in on our conversation. Dre, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
I want to thank Jesse Rogers for talking me off the ledge. Seriously, yeah. I was listening to your show on the roof about to jump.
No, don't do that.
Seriously, though. You know, this is something weird. And Sylvie, you don't, I've listened to everybody and reading everything. You brought up the best point. Tony Russo is 76 years old. We have a young core that's actually locked up, unlike the other team. This core is locked up for at least another 5 years. Why would you bring in somebody that's going to be 81 during this time? Now, I'm thinking, like, since we can't talk to Hinch or Cora before the World Series, I think this is just Reinsdorf doing something. I want to hope that this is the case. But it just doesn't make any sense, you know, especially, you know, with the culture they have with the young guys. Eloy with the chains and the open shirt and Tim with the bat flipping. I think right there, Tim and LaRusso is going to would clash right away from the first day. It just doesn't make sense to me. I was so emotional. I'm never going to watch the White Sox again. It's got to be something to this. I'm just hoping it's not what we're thinking, and they make that move.
Well, listen, maybe this is, and thanks for the call, Dre. Maybe this is like Jerry says to Rick, speculating here, Rick, this is your decision. I want you to keep an open mind, and I'd appreciate it if you'd give Tony La Russa an opportunity to come in and talk with you.
Right, and the number one candidate is a cheater, so I want you to give this guy some real thought.
Maybe Rick Hahn will have final say when all is said and done, but Jerry just wants to make sure that Tony La Russa gets an interview. I don't know.
All right, let's get to the top 20 Bears of the last 50 years.
ESPN 1000 and the Waddle and Sylvie Show presents the countdown of the 20 greatest Chicago Bears players of the last 50 years.
Dick Butkus was pretty scary, huh?
Here he is, galloping Gale, carrying the mail.
The best is yet to come, it really is.
Mike Ditka's NFC champions were as bold on offense as they were on defense in this title game. As McMahon rifled a deep pass from his own end zone.
Quick pitch to Walter, looking for the record, cuts back. He's got it.
Pass is intercepted by that guy, Brian Urlacher.
Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown.
Presented by Great Clips.
Mom always said, have a heart. Visit any Great Clips location in Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana. Support the local Ronald McDonald House. Buy a heart. Get a coupon for your next haircut. Give families the comfort and care that the local Ronald McDonald House provide. Donate today. Great Clips. It's going to be great. All salons are independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
The countdown continues with the 17th greatest Bears player of the last 50 years.
Go Bears!
That's the key. We're not doing all time. We're doing last 50 years. No. So from the 1970 mark through 2020, if they played for the Bears, they qualify for the list. And as you heard, it's number 17.
And this is one of the most underrated. There are two guys that I always think are the most underrated Bears of all time. This guy and Steve McMichael.
Yeah, so then announce who it is at number 17.
It is Doug Buffone, who left us way too soon. I believe he passed away in 2015. Doug was a great football player, and as a lot of people say, and this is 100% true with regard to this, he was a better guy. And he was a great football player, but he was an even better guy.
He was a fourth-round draft pick out of Louisville and then ended up playing for the Bears for like 15 seasons.
Yeah.
And he was their defensive captain. And at one point, he had the most games played as a Bear. And when you do that with a franchise that's over 100 years old and you average over 100 tackles a year and you're the team captain, you get your due. And you know how much Bears fans love their linebackers. Doug Buffone was no exception.
He was fantastic.
So, and yes, and like you, you know, he was a beloved media guy for many, many, many years.
So passionate, such a friendly guy. I remember the last time I saw him, I was at the gas station over there on Ontario. And he was putting gas in his car. And we sat there and we had both filled up our tanks. And we stayed there for like an extra 5 minutes just talking. He was one of the most engaging, nice guys I've ever been around.
The Loved difference him. Is one guy at that gas station is not on the top 20 list.
That's true.
And the other one is. And his name is
Doug Buffone. Amen.
Very good. Caller 20 right now, 312-332-3776. You'll get a $50 gift card to Great Clips. Waddle, tell us more.
Yes, visit any Great Clips in the Chicagoland area and in Northwest Indiana to support the local Ronald McDonald House. Buy a heart. Get a coupon for your next haircut. Give families the comfort and care. Great Clips. It's going to be great. All salons independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures. And by the way, Great Clips has raised over $800,000 in support of the Ronald McDonald House.
All right, JD's going to join us coming up to talk Bears, Le'Veon Bell, offensive play calling. And I even said something out loud yesterday that I could not even believe that I was mentioning all that in 2 minutes.